What the fuck is up? Hey, hi, and welcome to the very first full-length episode of Up East. Thank you very much for joining, thank you for listening, and thank you to the people that were super nice about the previous episode intro thing. You guys are really amazing, thank you for your support, I love you very, very much. And to those who weren't so nice, go fuck yourself. I got a new mic, a new setup. Hopefully I sound better, hopefully this doesn't sound like I'm talking through a big paper towel roll, which is never a nice thing. And in the spirit of trying to stick to one topic today, I'm gonna just be talking about Masoma Marjella in 2018, because I don't see a lot of people do that, except from, of course, Vogue and all your major fashion magazines, and then also touching on the new Balenciaga lookbook that came out about 5 days ago for the ready-wear collection that he's doing, and just also talking about how the fashion industry is a big old fucking planet polluter and how it regularly takes dookies on the planet. And how there just isn't any data available on that, and how it's such a shady area. But let's start with Masson. What I've been seeing a lot, let me just fact check myself here. Oh god, it was such a fucking mission getting my Wi-Fi to start. Because Ruben is dumb, and he doesn't pay his Wi-Fi bills. But usually I get a reminder before they just completely fucking shut it down and cut me off. But no, not this time. Okay, the 2018 Spring Couture Collection that he brought out. Just a little background on Masson. I haven't really been fucking with this shit that much since he left in 2014, and god, I think it's John Galliano that took over, and that's when the name change happened from Masson Marti Magel to just Masson Magel. And the shit was nice and the shit was cool, but not what it was. Few people do things the way that Masson Marti Magel, the guy, does. He lets his clothes speak in a way that I don't feel a lot of creative directors and artists and designers do. I think he's done two interviews in the entirety of his career. After the first one, he told his press secretary or press officer or whatever, he said, I don't want to do this anymore. And that was it. The last interview he gave, a short little interview he gave, was at his departure in 2014, which is, to me, really says a lot that he can reach the level that he has without having to step in front of a camera or a microphone and literally, like I said, let his clothes talk for itself. And some of my favorite pieces have come from him. I mean, I've talked about this a while ago on, I don't know where or to who, but the 2014 Yeezus tour, I saw it, I think somewhere in 2015, and I didn't understand what the fuck he was wearing. I don't know if any of you have seen the pictures from head to toe of him just dressed in Magella. It's fucking incredible. But back then I was like, Kanye, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you wearing this bedazzled face mask? I couldn't understand, but now looking back at it, it's such a fucking... Kanye did shit right before anybody else even thought of it. Kanye, and the thing about Kanye, God, I'm switching over to Kanye. The thing about him, he's been in the fashion industry for ages and ages. From interning for Fendi to his own collections with Louis V and then Nike and then Adidas, and he's been there. And he did shit with Riccardo Tisci for his album cover, his one album cover, I forgot which one. But he is fucking there, and I feel like a lot of these people that get into Kanye lately through seeing him on some fucking Instagram page whose name is Yeezy Boost Season 2. I don't know. We all fucking know those Instagram pages that literally just repost the same picture of the fucking 350s that are found on 50 different pages, those pages. And the people that get into Kanye solely based on that, and solely based on the hype around the life of Pablo. Don't get me wrong, it's a really fucking great album, but I feel like a lot of people, a lot of the wrong type of people, have been getting into Kanye recently and as of late. And I mean that's everywhere. I mean that's in every subculture and every thing in that subculture. There are going to be people that get in it solely to dick ride and don't go further into what the artist or person has done before bringing out the thing that originally attracted that person to get into said person or artist, if that makes sense. But Kanye is a fucking visionary in so many ways. The shit that he did 4 or 5 years ago, the people now would have said, "What the fuck? Why? That's weird. Stop doing that, Kanye." But now they completely turn around and say, "Oh wow, Kanye, you're so amazing. You're so great. What a fucking visionary." And I just feel like, okay, if you didn't fuck with him back then, why do you fuck with him now? It's that whole old Kanye, new Kanye thing. But to me, Kanye has always been there, at least in the fashion world aspect of it. He's fucking been there. And for that reason, he'll always be, whatever he does, whatever moves he makes in the fashion world, I'll always be there for it, because it's in some aspects way ahead of its time. And I mean, now recently, the Yeezy Season 5, or is it Season 6, 5 or 6 stuff that he brings out now, I mean, it's fine, it's great, it's cool, it's a lot of nude pastel colors, a lot of scribbled on things, and the Calabasas pants he did with Adidas. I mean, they're fine and cool and nice and great, but personally, outside of his own clothing lines, I fuck with Kanye so much. Like, not including his music or whatever, just purely based on how he makes certain clothes look. How he makes things work that I know for a fact no other person can make work. And that's a fucking achievement on its own. But I digress once again. His fall 2018 ready-to-wear collection, it features a whole lot of iridescent colors, a whole lot of PVC. It's a nice collection in general. It's my favorite one since 2014, before the departure of Masson. It's nice. It's a nice collection. I fuck with the colors, but what I wanted to touch on, the shoes that came out of this. I don't know how many of you've seen it, but if you haven't, go look it up, then you'll know what I'm talking about. It's a kind of looks like a mix match of a bunch of sneakers, and not in the way that a triple S looks like that. It literally looks like they took three different sneakers, cut off different parts of it, and siliconed it together and like stapled it together. And it looks fucking weird. It looks, and some of the shoes, that they're like ankle height shoes as well. I'm not sure if they're ankle height or maybe even higher, but they have these plastic straps on them, which fucking remind me of ice skates, but the free ice skates that you would get, those big fucking blue free ice skates you would get at every rink I used to go to as a kid. They really look like they took the straps off that, cut off the ankle part, and put them on a trainer. And I mean, it's fine. It's different. It's really refreshing to see something like that, something that doesn't look like a fucking dad shoe. It's nice. Mixed feelings about it, very much mixed feelings. I don't think it'll quite come in to replace the dad shoe, because of course it's Muscle Marshall, and Muscle Marshall price tags are crazy. But then again, also Balenciaga price tags are crazy. But I really hope it doesn't, because Muscle Marshall is one of those brands that'll always be timeless. It'll be art. It'll be a art house that really portrays its message solely through its clothes. And that's really hard to get lately, because don't get me wrong, Balenciaga and Vetements are doing their own thing. Vetements, especially with like the whole satirical aspect of the fashion world, that's fine and great and nice. But Maison Margiel does it completely differently, and they do it really well, and I'm glad to see that they're starting to pick up after Mr. Martin's departure in 2014. Also, I might as well touch on the new Balenciaga lookbook that came out a couple of days ago. I want to say maybe a week ago or so, more or less, I'm not sure. Overall, really fucking disappointed with this. There are a couple of pieces. Like the guys' pieces, I don't even know what you would call them. The velvety texture, full upper body suits, where it just completely covers the hands and up like a turtleneck thing. That I really, really like. And the derby shoes that they have with the thick soles around the edges. Very cool, very nice. A lot of dresses I've seen in a lot of coats. This was way more business formal orientated, and that's nothing new for Balenciaga, but this was way, way more business focused with the overcoats and the same black pants over and over and over again, and the derby shoes, Oxford's derby shoes, whatever the fuck. And the women's stuff also, a lot of dresses and overcoats and skirts, and it's nice. It's completely different from their previous year's stuff. But I mean, also here and there, a couple of flannels, a bunch of fucking layering. Jesus Christ, Demna's going crazy with layering. It looks fine and cool and nice, but my problem with layering is that no person in their right fucking mind is gonna wear 1, 2, 3, 4 flannels and a scarf. So it's kind of, I don't know. It's okay. Not the biggest fan of flannels. But that's just a personal opinion. Also, oh, okay, the shoes. A lot of you have probably seen the shoes. And these shoes have kind of answered a question that I've had for a really long time, and that is, what is going to replace the dad shoe? And now we know hiking shoes are going to replace the dad shoe. Tech hiking shoes are going to replace the dad shoes. Really, really don't fucking like these. Like the dad shoe trend, I could still get down with, and I really, as you know, like the triple S's, but Jesus fucking Christ, these are bad. These really do not look nice. Maybe it's just the colorways, maybe it's the fact that it looks like a sportsman's warehouse shoe, I do not know. But yeah, going away from that, it also, they did something really nice and thoughtful, I guess. It's kind of whatever. They did a collab with the World Food Organization with, I think, a tee and a hoodie and a fanny pack and a cap or something. And they also donated $250,000 to said program, which is nice and really cool. And big up Stemna, well done. And probably some of the proceeds are going to go to helping the World Food Organization and all of that. And this kind of ties into the next topic I have is it's no new news that the fashion industry is responsible for a lot of pollution. Actually, it is fourth in the world for the most polluting industry, and that is right behind. Let me just pull up this article. It's an EcoCult article on new research that's been done somewhere last month about this said topic. The fashion industry is the most polluting industry, just behind electricity and heat, agriculture, and road transport. What was also interesting to me is, as it's said here, what is bizarre about this sort of analysis is that the fashion industry involves all the industries I just mentioned. Electricity, often from dirty sources like coal and diesel generators, powers the garment factories. Cotton is an agricultural product. A small portion of clothing journeys are done by road transport. Polyester is made from plastic, which is a polyethylene product. Leather is a byproduct of livestock raised for food. And I do understand that this topic of fashion pollution is hard to measure just because there are so many variables to it and there are so many different forms of pollution that are within the general term fashion pollution. But my main problem with this is that these companies haven't come out and said, okay, we haven't given a detailed report of saying, okay, this is our CO2 emissions, this is where our factories are, our factories operate under these circumstances, they have these eco-saving strategies whatsoever. Not a single company other than Vetmar have come out in saying this. And oh God, I think I have that Vetmar article. Not an article per se, I think it was posted to their Instagram a while back where it says, fashion is a very dirty industry. Dead stock in the US amounts to $15 billion every year. After the oil industry, fashion is the second biggest polluting industry in the world. We now know that's false. It's the fourth. Fashion chief executives scream about sustainability and how they plan to cut carbon emissions by 40% and reduce environmental impact by 50% in every interview. But none of those brands seem to understand that a much easier solution is just in front of them. Preventing overproduction in the first place would have an immediate effect on reaching those sustainability goals. The industry talks about conspicuous consumption, buying for the sake of buying, as the reason behind the growth in the luxury segment. But brands are producing more products than there is demand for. I call it conspicuous production, production for the sake of producing and artificially inflating the numbers. Vetements X Saks. I think this is also a thing that they did with Saks Fifth Avenue, which is like a boutique that sells high-end clothes. But it's true what they say. There are so many different ways to reach these goals, and so many different moves these companies can make to just decrease the amount of output, product output, and CO2 output that they have. But like I said, these companies don't come out saying, okay, we're gonna do this. I'm gonna cut production. We're gonna cut overproduction. We're gonna cut CO2 emissions. We're gonna move our factories from this part of the world to this part of the world. There isn't a plan set out by any company that I know of, and I have fucking looked. I have scoured everywhere. And there isn't public announcements from chief directors, presidents of these companies saying, this is our stats, this is how we're helping the environment, this is how we're doing this, and this is how we're doing that. And that's kind of coming back to the Balenciaga thing, not to take anything away from Balenciaga and what they're doing with the World Food Organization thing. That's really, really great, especially with world hunger being at an all-time high as it is. It's cool that you're doing this one thing, but what about this big other question that has been asked numerous and numerous times? And that question is, what the fuck are you doing that's trying to help cut the pollution that the industry is doing? What is your part in this? How are you helping? How is Balenciaga helping, and what is Balenciaga doing? And I just feel brands really need to get their shit together, because the majority of these products are made in countries where there isn't strict rules on how the factories should be run and how eco-friendly the factories should be run. They want to make you believe as much as fucking possible that, oh, our products are made solely in Italy. And I'm not saying all brands. Some brands do have the tendency to say, oh, look at our products, it's made in Italy, and oh, it's made in France, and all of this bullshit. But now, as we've seen with the triple S's, the factory moving to China, and I do not know what circumstances that factory is being run under and all the specifications. And that's the fucking problem. They don't say, hey, okay, this factory is going to be run like this, and these rules are in, what the fuck ever. But it's being moved to China for mass production because they saw that the triple S's are so fucking huge that they sold out of them, and the factory in Italy can't produce it anymore. It's no longer made in Italy, it's made in China now. And that also ties in to what the Vetements thing said, is that overproduction is really fucking killing the fashion industry and killing the planet at the same time. And not just killing the fashion industry in the sense of, oh, okay, we found this one design or this one product that we see are selling a lot of fucking units, and now we're gonna mass produce this so we can make the most money out of this one popular design, and thus getting lazy to create new stuff, create new designs, whatever. That is certainly one aspect of it. But also, killing the fashion industry by overproducing these popular products that should have been kept a small niche thing. Like, I'm taking the triple S's, for example. They were by no means supposed to be a small niche thing, but I don't think they were intended to be as big as they are now. And that, in a sense, is a good and a bad thing. But mostly, it's bad due to the fact that all of these people that shouldn't get their hands, and I know it's a personal choice and everybody has the right to buy what the fuck they want, but there are some people that just shouldn't have these things because they cover it in their dirty, filthy, disgusting little greasy fingers and leave fingerprints all over this nice thing, this nice triple S silhouette that looks nice with certain things and doesn't look nice with a pair of fucking BAPE shorts and a Supreme shirt. It does not look nice with that. Those types of people should stick to their own part of the culture. That's such a stupid word, and I hate using that, but, and I might sound a bit elitist, towards the fact that some people should wear things and some people shouldn't. But that is how it fucking goes, and some people do not understand this. They do not understand that certain things look good with certain stuff and certain things look good on certain people. But I digress, digress. Fuck. The fashion industry needs to really question why the fuck these art houses aren't putting out reports saying this is our CO2 emissions, that is, this is what we're doing to decrease them, this is where our factories are, this is the rules set out for CO2 emission cutting in these factories, and how they're just making an effort to cut all of this pollution that is very fucking clearly happening. It isn't hard to see, and it isn't hard to find articles and reports on how the fashion industry is causing pollution, but it's really fucking hard to find articles on how these brands within the fashion industry are going to stop doing all this shit and stop taking a shit on the planet. And I'm not talking about small little brands. I'm talking about big brands like Gucci and Prada and Helmut Lang. I couldn't find anything on them, and there isn't anything on them saying these things, saying how they're helping the environment. And I guess it kind of boils down to people having the mindset and notion that, oh, well, I look good in this hoodie. Why the fuck should I care at what cost was it made? Not what it cost me, but what it cost the planet. And that sounds so stupid and fucking hippy-dippy of me. I know, and this whole thing probably made me sound like that, but it's not something that's being talked about a lot, and it's not something that there's a lot of source material on, and that's fucking whack. It really, really is. But I think that concludes. Let me just see if I went over everything. I even have like a little fucking notebook so I don't skip. The whole Emma Stone Oscar speech, I don't. Should I go into that? I think everybody knows by this point Emma Stone, that was just being a top-tier white feminist, and like had a little freak out about how there was only one female in the nominated, one female nominated in the Best Director category at the Oscars. Well, it's completely fucking annoying that there were two people of color within that category. It's just a, like I said, the top point of white feminism, feeling as if. And don't get me wrong, do not get me wrong. It is great. It is amazing that Greta Gerwig, I think that's her name, Greta Gerwig was nominated, a female was nominated in that category, and that a female is in this category. Do not get me wrong on that. But that does not take away from the fact that Jordan Peele and Guillermo del Toro was also in that category, and that Jordan Peele was only the fifth black man to ever be nominated in that, and Guillermo del Toro, which is a Spanish immigrant, was also in that fucking category. So Emma Stone done goofed. And this also, there's this huge fucking outrage within the music industry, the movie industry, especially the music industry. And it is fucking understandable, this I completely agree with, that female artists are just being overlooked, and good female artists are being overlooked, and awards are being given to mediocre male artists solely based on A, the fact that they're males, and B, the fact that they're more popular. And I'm referring to the Grammys now, which was a while, fucking while ago. But, and of course the Grammys really aren't the ideal model for awarding awards to good music. So I'm not going to get into this too much, but there is this big outrage in these industries about female not being given the credit that they deserve and given the awards that they deserve. And it's just going to fucking snowball and snowball and snowball and snowball till eventually something happens which just kind of sinks the Titanic. And I don't know what that's going to be, but these academies and these award shows need to get their shit together and start recognizing these good female actors and musicians. Because SZA was fucking 10 times better than Bruno Mars. Jesus fucking Christ. Any female at that Grammys show was better than fucking Bruno Mars. Jesus Christ, I'm still mad at that. Even Lorde, I do not like Lorde, but Lorde had the better album than Bruno. Fuck me, okay. I think we're done. That's it. As for the whole playing music thing, I'm still working on that. Turns out it's fucking harder than I thought. Way harder than I thought. But I'm just gonna, for the time being, I think I'm just gonna recommend 5 songs that I've really been enjoying this week, been listening the fuck out of this week. And I think we're gonna start with Jack Stauber, Pop Food. It's a album that came out somewhere last year that I only recently discovered, and it's so, so, so great. It's got a lot of Conan Moccasin, Tame Impala type-esque feels to it. Really, really nice, really pretty. Definitely go check out his YouTube page as well. He posts some very abstract videos, not per se music videos, just little 30-second clips of weird shit. It looks like a VCR filming a VCR filming a VCR. Really nice, really great. Also, Diet Sig, really a band that I've enjoyed so much for the past month. I watched their NPR Tiny Desk session, and it's, I watched it and it made me so, so happy because their lead singer, I forgot her name, has so much fun whilst performing. You can see the happiness on her face, and it's, fuck, I'm smiling just thinking about it. And she enjoys herself so, so much, and that's so contagious. Do yourself a favor, go watch that NPR session. It's fucking Tiny Desk session. Why do I keep saying NPR? Go watch the Tiny Desk session of Diet Sick, and go listen to the song Bath Bomb by them, which is really, really, really great. Also, Disgraced in America by Ort is a really, really good song of a very mediocre album. It's not a bad album. Very big and prominent Joy Division sound from the vocalist and guitarist. Completely forgot their names. I'm not even going to bother right now. Good song. Nah, album. Also, Against All Logic, which is a, I want to say, side project or alias that Nicholas Jaar used. It's a electronic club album. The whole Against All Logic album is super, super good. And I'm not the biggest fan of club music and house music, but this album uses sound so fucking well, and Nicholas uses sound so fucking well. And the track This House Is All We Have, one of my favorites, great jazzy type soul feel to it, and it's just fucking good. Go listen to it. And that does it for the music thing section part. I don't know, really underwhelming not being able to listen to these fucking songs, just having to explain them, but it's getting sorted out, I promise. It just takes fucking long because people like wasting my time, and I like being lazy, so it'll fucking come. Also, my intro, my podcast intro is on iTunes right now. It takes about 2 to 3 days for Apple moderators to sort through your podcast to make sure probably that you aren't spreading ISIS propaganda and that you're probably not playing songs that you shouldn't be because you can't fucking do that because it's intellectual property, whatever the fuck. Oh, it makes me so mad that I have to wait so long just to play three songs, two songs. I would have played two, whatever. So it takes 2 to 3 days for to get up on iTunes. That is why I usually upload it to SoundCloud first, because it's just easier and faster. But I very much like the idea of it being on iTunes more than on SoundCloud. But regardless, I think I'm gonna upload it to SoundCloud first. I tell you guys, hey, hi, it's on SoundCloud. Go check it out, please. Thank you. Once again, thank you for support. You guys are great. Really nice. But then from SoundCloud, I'm gonna put it on iTunes. It's gonna be on both SoundCloud and iTunes. iTunes for the Apple people, SoundCloud for the Android plebs, all the fucking iTunes, Apple people that use SoundCloud, whatever. Sorry. So it's gonna be on both. Search me up on SoundCloud, Up East, if you wanna listen to it on there, and on iTunes. Just search Up East and you'll find it, hopefully. It's you can't miss my profile picture. It's a big ol' nose and a big ol' doink. And I think that's about it. Thank you for listening to, whoa, 36 minutes of me blabbering on. If there's a way I can link stuff on a podcast, maybe a description or something. Still not very sure how that works. We'll check that out, but if there is a means to do that, I'll link the songs and the articles and maybe my Instagram page, I guess. I don't know, we'll see. But thank you very much for listening. You guys are great. You guys are amazing. Thank you for everything. You're the best, you're the brightest forever.